How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions, featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.
Hello and welcome to Like-Minded Friends with me, Tom Allen.
And me, Susie Ruffle. Hello, good morning.
Good morning, or whenever you're listening.
Whenever you're listening. Tom, where are you coming from us this evening? This afternoon?
Today?
This morning?
I'm, as ever, in the back bedroom.
Yes.
Which is increasingly hot at the moment, even though we keep the blinds. We haven't opened the blinds for weeks. But it is a little space, which is probably the softest space in the house.
Sure. Good things. How's your week been, dear?
Well, very nice, thank you. I went to an exhibition about Versace.
Clang. Where was it?
It was in London Bridge, and sure. I very much enjoyed it. You know, kind of learning about how his work fitted in with everything else at the time and how it was sort of a reflection of, well, there were different points in his life with the reflections of different things, like, you know, just like the money of the 80s and 90s. Mm. And then how that became a bit more subtle. People didn't want to make it so showy that they had money. And I thought that was quite interesting. How it was reflecting.
I really like those very loud Versace shirts.
They had a lot of those.
Yeah. I would absolutely love to break into that museum. In case that happens between recording this and this going out, I'm not planning on doing it.
That would be such a you thing to do though, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Susie's going down for stealing Versace.
Stealing Versace shirts. Yeah.
I mean, there's worse things.
It's foolish. She wore them on stage very night.
Yeah.
So it was quite obvious. You've
all
got some,
them.
Haven't you? All of them at once.
I have a Versace shirt that I bought on Depop or eBay or one of those places where you buy secondhand. And it was still quite expensive.
I bet.
But it's quite lovely. I like it.
They are quite, you know, they are so legendary. They're sort of...
Well, of course.
And that look, we were saying about like that, like skinny leggings and then a flowing blouse.
Yeah,
flowing
it's very nice.
Mm, mm.
There's lots to enjoy.
Lots to enjoy. So that's something to do. And then we went
for some food
afterwards, but it was a bit heavy, really.
Mm.
I regretted eating heavy at late at night.
Was it late? You can't have pizza after seven.
It was pasta.
Pasta or pizza.
It was pasta, yeah.
Although they do in Italy, don't they?
They do in Italy. They all seem to be so fabulous.
They do all seem to be quite fabulous.
I just felt a bit, you know, sluggish this morning.
Mm.
Sorry to bring the mood down, everybody.
No, Tom, it's important we talk about these things, as ever, taking on the big subjects.
That's it. That's what we're here for. Suze, how's your week been?
My week's been great. I went to Switzerland briefly.
What? Switzerland briefly?
Sorry,
I was going to make a joke about pants there, but I wasn't quick enough. I couldn't.
I couldn't
work it out.
Just in my undies.
Briefly, yeah.
Mm. I went to Switzerland to watch the Lionesses win in a great game.
Wow.
I'll tell you something about Switzerland.
Yeah.
Everyone's fit.
Really?
Loads of good looking people.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Physically, aesthetically.
Wow.
I think they do a lot of walking.
Do a lot of
good looking people.
Really? Neutral, but very good looking.
Yeah. You know?
Wow. Wow, I didn't know that.
So if anyone's, you know, on the hunt for someone fit, may I suggest a weekend in Zurich?
Oh, is that where you went? Zurich?
Mm. I went to Zurich, then we got on a train and it took us to St. Gallen.
Oh, not...
Which is just up the way.
St. Tom Allen, St. Gallen.
St. Tom Allen. It took us to St. Tom Allen. But the thing I love, Tom, is that they have double-decker trains.
Oh, always a thrill, isn't it?
Always a thrill. Now, listen, I've been on them before.
Mm.
I put a picture up. Of course, someone on the internet had to say, oh, they've got them all over Europe.
Mm.
I know they've got them all over Europe. I've been on them several times. What I'm saying is...
It's exciting.
It's a thrill.
Yeah.
You've got to find joy in the small things.
You've got to find joy in this world. Have you ever been on a train where the seating... Is it in Australia where the seating changes? You can move the backrest of the seating, so you're always facing forward.
No, but I would be very pro this sort of thing because I hate to travel backwards.
My mum won't travel backwards on a train.
Well, me and your mum are the same in that respect. Well, it's not the only respect, but we're the same, let's be honest.
Well, you know, I think there is a lot of fun to be had with trains. I've always wanted to go on one of those ones that's like a glass, it's got like a glass back to it. And you can go and look at the mountains in Canada. You see them sometimes advertised in a Sunday supplement.
Yes, I would love to do that. Or go on like a Siberian express.
Oh, yes, that would be fun.
I would love all that.
Cold, but yeah.
Yeah, those Canadian ones look amazing where you go through the mountains.
Yeah, just looking at mountains.
And like the side, it's like the side of your carriage's glass.
Yes, that's it. And you can sit in a sort of lounge space. And look out.
Honestly, Tom, I would love all that. Now, you've been on that very fancy train, haven't you? That Alice and I are thinking of going on.
The What's Belmont. The Pullman. The British Pullman. The
is
Orient
that
Express.
What it is? Where you go... Well, the Orient... Where is the Orient Express?
Well, technically, the Orient Express is, I think, in Europe. Because
And is there often a murder on it? Or is that just...
And I think there's usually a murder on it.
There's usually a murder. Okay.
I think they tend to call it the British Pullman because it doesn't go... It doesn't go on the route that the Orient Express went on. But anyway,
sure.
If that's the one you're thinking of, that's the one we did. And it was...
In Europe?
No, we just did it. We just did it for the day.
In the UK?
I had a voucher. Clang.
Clang.
And it was a lovely special occasion thing to do.
Yes. Okay. So what does it... I'm sure we've spoken about this before, but I've forgotten. So I imagine our listeners have as well. Where do you take off? And by take off, I mean get on the train.
You mean leave. Well, there are different ones they do.
Oh, okay.
But the one we did was to Bath, and you get on, you have brunch on the way down to Bath, and it was a stunning brunch, I have to say, beautiful, everything about it. We had a day in Bath, left to our own devices. Oh, no, we went to the Bath Museum thing. There were people dressed up as Romans. We really enjoyed that.
Of course.
It was an audio guide. And then you get back on
Love.
The way back, and you get pretty pissed as well. It's a bit...
You have dinner on the way back, is it?
Dinner on the way back.
And it's a bit boozy.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit boozy if you want it to be. It doesn't have to be. But
no, of course.
I thought it was lovely. Everybody was dressed up. The staff on it were delightful and were really good at making a fuss. I just thought it was lovely thing to do.
Well, I love trains and I love dressing fancy.
Well, I think you'd really enjoy it.
It feels like it would be a great day out for me.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it. They have different ones. They have afternoon tea ones, I think, as well, where you can go just to Kent, I think, or Brighton.
I'm never sure about afternoon tea, you know.
Well, I have reservations. Go on. What were your reservations?
Well, I just think you know, similar to the dinner you had last night, I don't think you ever leave an afternoon tea feeling great.
Mm.
And I'm greedy. I'm a greedy little pig.
And also you want to have it all. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have two scones.
Well, they're there for you.
Okay. You've brought out some more cakes as well. Oh, and then there's that sandwich that's going spare. But I finished the sandwich course, but now it's looking at me. And so there it is. Another egg sandwich has gone down the trap.
I think it was designed as a meal, as a sort of snack in the afternoon to tide you over before dinner.
How much were these people eating?
But I don't think they were eating that much. I think it's because, I think it was like a couple of little sandwiches, like tiny sandwiches. And
so you'd share a whole sandwich with someone.
They would be wearing a corset with someone.
Yeah.
So they'd have, and then maybe a little scone. Or a little cake, but I don't think this idea of
or
like
a petit four,
basically a petit four, yeah. But I think the idea of it being, well, for me, afternoon tea, I think it's lovely, but it's a lot of sugar, and I get quite depressed. I've realised on the sugar crash.
Oh, I think that's very easy for that to happen.
I'm just saying.
No, I think you're right, especially if you're having it with booze.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? Daytime. Yeah. Mm.
But I like going fancy places. So I like to do afternoon tea because it's a nice excuse to dress up.
Yeah. Well, that's it. It's a nice thing to do. It's a nice time to stop, isn't it? That's what I think it is. Those things. So it's a nice moment just to stop, get dressed up, really revel in just living in the moment, I suppose, is what people would say, isn't it?
Yes, probably. And also, I love to pretend that I'm, you know, a lady that might go out for afternoon tea.
Wow.
You know, in a bustle.
You can be that.
I can be
that.
Or maybe a gent, you know, with the monocle. Sure.
Oh, sure.
I'll play either of these things, you know.
But bustles were a thing in the late 19th century and early 20th century, I think.
Is the bustle the arse?
Yeah. And now people want big arses again.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
Tom, have you started watching The Golden Age yet?
I have seen bits of it. I did quite like it.
You have to make a commitment to it.
Oh, okay.
I think you do have to make a commitment to it because I think, first of all, it'd be very you.
It's
so up your boulevard, you wouldn't believe.
Up my Fifth Avenue or wherever it says.
Well, yes, of course, up your Manhattan Drive.
Oh, that's it.
And Tom, it's about the sort of invention of the railroad. There's so many things to enjoy.
Oh.
There's a woman, she's not originally from money, but she's come up.
Oh, wow. Then it's Christine Baranski, right?
Yes, who I love.
Mm.
I think I watch her in anything.
Mm.
Her and Alice and Janney.
Oh, right.
I watch them in anything.
Right.
There you go. I've said it.
Okay.
It's really good.
Oh, I would like that. We started watching Upstairs Downstairs the other day.
And how was it?
It was kind of fun, you know, in a sort of 70s way.
Yeah, I've not seen it.
And then the Forsyth saga, that looked a bit serious.
As ever, finger directly on the pulse.
On the cultural pulse, yes. Then we're back to Downton Abbey.
Did you go to Highclere this week?
No.
That was just a video from another time.
Oh, the one of the laying the table?
No, there was a video of you skipping in a bowler hat.
Oh, that was at Emmett's Garden.
So
oh,
sorry.
No. Oh, sorry. Oh, I don't know. Oh, did Alfie puts up videos on my TikTok sometimes. But hi, Claire. Yeah, it wasn't hearing them. Hi, Claire. But I put up a video, which I really enjoyed, of the table being laid at Windsor Castle for the state banquet of President Macron. Very much my sort of content. And
yeah. How long do you think it takes?
It takes 5 days, they said in their comments.
What?
It takes 5 days to lay the table. It was absolutely spectacular.
It can't take 5 days to lay a table.
5 days. There's like, I don't know how many, maybe 200-300 people sit down. It's amazing. Yeah. It was so beautiful. Everything about it was so
beautiful. Do you reckon the food's good? I know that's a ridiculous thing to say, but cooking en masse is really hard.
Well, that's true. I think, well, Raymond Blanc was the chef, wasn't he? Brought in.
Sure.
To celebrate the Entente Cordiale.
What's that? What's the Entente Cordiale?
It's sort of...
Something French, is it? Something French?
Something French. I think cordial agreement, isn't it? The Entente?
Sure.
So just that, like an agreement that France and the UK would work together. It's sort of, it's probably 150 years old now. But they'd be good friends. Very much in the sort of golden age type time, I think.
Mm.
And so, but I don't know if they were celebrating that specifically, but it was just
5 days.
5 days, and they get on the table and they polish the table, like they stand on the table and they like polish it. And it was so...
With their feet?
No, with mops. But I imagine they have to have fluffy things on their feet.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, fluffy things, like skating.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, maybe that's a good question, isn't it? Because what do professional skaters do when they retire?
Mm.
And potentially something like that.
Maybe they buff tables, yeah. Do you remember there were those slippers you could get that had like buffers on them? And so when you walked around on the floor, they would, you know, they'd buff
polish your floor. Polish
your floor
for you? Yeah. Yeah, I have some memory of that, I think.
Maybe it's just in the film Amelie. I don't know.
Both those things can be true.
Very French. We've gone very French today, haven't we?
Bonjour.
Bonjour, tout le monde.
Now, Tom, I had something happen to me this week.
Oh, Suze.
And I have to tell you, I think it's the gayest thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow.
And I've married a woman.
And there's been some gay things, yeah.
Hey, listen, I've done a fair bit of gaying.
Yeah, you have. You've tried it all out. What happened?
So, living my best life. It's a Saturday morning. I'm going to a children's birthday party. It was a lovely one. It was a lovely child. Mm. Great. I'm in the car. I get a DM. I'm doing my social media brief look-see.
Yeah.
There's a DM.
Oh.
Saying, I loved your episode of How to Fail, which was the Elizabeth Day podcast that I did an episode of that came out last week. I loved your episode of How to Fail. I thought it was brilliant. I think you're great. Very, very lovely message.
Yeah.
It was from...
Oh, wow.
Danny Minogue.
What?
Danny Minogue knows who I am.
Danny effing Minogue.
Danny effing Minogue.
Suze, that's great. Oh, my goodness. No, the irony, not failing at all.
I was shook.
So what did you do?
Well, I responded.
Immediately? Yeah.
Saying, oh my God, Danny, she spells it double N double I.
Mm, right.
Had to double check that 3 times because the last thing you want to do is spell Danny incorrectly.
Oh my goodness.
Thank God I didn't have to spell Minogue. I'd have been there a week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have bothered writing back. I said, thank you so much.
Yeah.
We had a little chit chat. Long story short, I'm sending her a book.
Wow.
What?
Does she live in the UK or does she live in Australia? Because that's going to be quite expensive to post.
I think she lives between the two. I have an address.
Wow.
I imagine it might be her agent's address. But who knows? Well,
who knows?
But how kind.
How lovely, Suze. Isn't that nice when people do nice things?
Do you know what she did, Tom? And you're very good at doing this. She extended the hand of friendship.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, friendship might be a bit strong. I don't know if she wants to be my friend.
I think
but
she
was definitely kind.
Oh.
How nice is that?
That's really super.
Really super. And then, because in the episode, I talked about sort of the lack of queer representation growing up and how so much of it was either, you know, quite negative stuff about the experiences of gay people or about sort of very sad, lonely lesbians that might have to live in secret for the rest of their lives. Mm. And she was saying it's why she's sort of so passionate about doing I Kissed a Girl and I Kissed a Boy and why she's like so enormously proud of it because it's giving people lots of different kinds of gay people and queer people.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway.
You wouldn't have heard that. Yeah.
What an ally.
What a great ally. Thank you.
What a great ally cat.
And that's so nice. Well, that's lovely, though. That was all.
That's everything.
Yeah. But it goes to show, doesn't it, that, you know, you putting something out there, it's true of everything, isn't it? If you put something out there, other people will pick it up. We have to keep making nice things like that.
Got to make nice things.
Yeah, it's great, Suze.
Talking of making nice things, how do you feel about the book being announced?
Oh, thank you for that. I am... A gentle plug. What a lovely
great name club night.
Book. Yes. A lovely name for a memoir. Very, very pleased. And people have said nice things about it coming out. The publishers like to sort of get the ball rolling quite early, I think. So
yes.
It's not out for a few months, but it's they like to announce it.
Yeah.
People pre-order it. So
please do.
So please feel free. And, I feel like a nice feeling that it's done and it's out into the ether. I hope people enjoy it because it is quite an intense thing to do, as you know.
Yeah, and I think writing a novel even more so.
Well, I think it was, for me, I found it was different to the other things I'd written because you have to just immerse yourself in a whole new world.
Very similar to Ariel. In that.
Very similar. And yet again, another thing I find related to Ariel on. And so, yeah, just sort of immersing yourself in that is quite intense, and then you send it off and then you don't immerse yourself in it anymore, you know, so it's kind of
That's the thing, isn't it, with creating something like that, you go, oh no, it's not mine.
Yeah, that's the thing.
No, it's gone, goodbye.
It's gone. Yeah, but you know, a lightness I think descends as you sort of are able to have some distance from it, and and I'll go into record the audiobook as well, but it's sort of it's kind of...
Have you been working on your accents?
I've been doing a lot of accent practice, but yes, hopefully.
Hello.
Different, just all the characters have a different pitch.
Lovely.
Yeah, lovely, but they speak in monotone, but at that pitch.
Completely monotone.
Hello, so nice to see you. Yes. But quite looking forward to doing that. Yeah.
That's very nice. I like the idea of you having a tuning fork.
Oh, yes, for each one. That would be good. Yes.
For each night.
A little opera. Operetta. But yeah, it's been nice to do that and have that out there. And then just been sort of enjoying, just being a bit relaxed, actually. Sat on the sofa yesterday for a short while, which was
very
rare.
Nice.
Yeah, very, very nice.
See, I'm now coming towards my... Oh, we can stop for a bit because I haven't really stopped since Christmas properly.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a break. Mm. It's been sort of all systems go. Mm. And now what I have to be really mindful of is like the voices.
Yes, it's a real challenge.
Now I have the time because I've been very good keeping my phone at arm's length.
Yeah.
Comparison is the thief of joy and all that malarkey.
Yes.
And now I have time, which I really haven't had much of.
Mm.
And I have to be very careful that I'm not falling into the, you're not busy. You're not busy.
Well, yes.
Are they busy? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah,
you must get more busy. It's
well,
you know.
It occurred to me that keeping very busy is sometimes, for me, I think a response to, is it anxiety? I don't know if it's anxiety or what, or just sort of negative thoughts. It's sort of a defense mechanism against negative thinking.
Yeah, I think so for me too.
Yes, I think probably we're both quite similar like that. And I think it is you know, a good thing to do, and happy and busy is a great state to be in. Mm. But also, you do need to rest. I think if you can just sort of identify it and go, oh no, you're just the voices. You're not.
Mm. You're not real.
You're not real. But it's so hard, isn't it? Because I know I catastrophize about everything all the time.
Yeah.
And so when I've got nothing to distract me from that, I'm just sort of, you know, can sort of quickly spiral.
I really relate to that. I think sometimes it's, for me, it feels like it's like a going back to like the like blueprint of me, which I guess was like formed when I was a teenager, which was like, right. Am I good enough? Do people actually like me? Is this okay?
Yeah.
Well, I'm focusing on what I'm doing next. What's the next thing I'm going to do? How am I going to... And it's almost like when I have time where I'm not like, you've got to write a tour and you've got to do your book and you've got to be a mum and you've got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
That all of a sudden, like, there's part of my brain that goes back to, is this enough? Is this okay? Am I all right?
Yeah, of course.
Do you like me?
Yeah.
Which is weird that you would still go back to that, even after having therapy and, you know, living, you know, a good 25 years more.
Well, I mean... It is, I guess it's a constant thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That we are always kind of slightly battling. Just a feeling of, well, yeah, I suppose we're often dragged back there, aren't we, if we're not careful. You know, I think that's when I'm tired, I know that I am more susceptible to that way of thinking, into that sort of, and I guess as well, when I'm tired, that early form of thinking is what is on some level reassuring, you know, it's kind of, that's...
Oh, I know you.
And somehow that's soothing in a really not soothing way.
Yes, in a terrible way.
In a absolutely terrible way.
In a dreadful way, that's really soothing.
But yeah, I think a lot of us do that, don't we? And I remember feeling a lot of sense of kind of not sure about myself. Actually, earlier than being a teenager, I remember at primary school feeling quite uneasy about myself and the world around me. And I think that sort of thing, I don't know, I think that just sort of, and I didn't really know how to express it, so I think I just buried that quite deep.
That sounds sensible.
That, you know, just thought I'd bring that up on this light, you know, fun podcast that we have.
But I say that sounds sensible because I like relate to it so heavily.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Of those early thoughts of.
Yeah. Not being able to express it and everything. But of course, you know, it's a human experience, isn't it? But yeah, just sort of, I guess for us to learn to see it for what it is and to see it as a, you know, an experience, but it doesn't have to be now.
Okay, there you are.
There you are, yeah.
There you are.
There you are.
There you are. So I'm being mindful of not falling into that again.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's good, but that's good that you're prepared for it.
I'm ready and waiting.
Ready and waiting. I've often found it with, with being on holiday. If I've gone on holiday, like... I'm like, well, I'm here. I'm on the sunbed. And that's when the thoughts are like, great, now I've got you.
Yeah. Oh, great. We can really go in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that time you did that thing? Weird. Do you think they liked you?
Yeah, all those sort of things. But, you know, you just go, no, thank you.
Are you going thank
on,
you.
You've got a holiday coming, haven't you?
I do.
A time away.
Italy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Italia. I'll be eating some very heavy food, but I imagine it'll be absolutely delicious. I
imagine it'll be a lot nicer. Are you going to, are you going to one of the lakes?
I'm going to a lake, yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, can't wait.
That'll be nice.
For the Italian lakes.
For a week?
For a week. For a week of swimming and sunning and reading.
Perfect. That's perfect.
And I think probably going to a water park with my daughter.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Which would be really fun.
Alf likes a water park. I haven't been to one since I was about 8 or 9. Gosh, maybe it was when I was having those thoughts.
Maybe you were just frightened of water park.
Maybe I just really scared. Maybe I need to go to the water park to work it through.
Flush it out.
Yeah, literally, yeah. What sort of rides do you think you'll go on at the water park?
Well, I'll go on all of them.
Will you? You won't be held back.
Absolutely not.
Big high slide. You like that one?
Yeah, don't mind that. I'm sure I've said this before, but when I was a child, you know, you have to cross your arms at the top of a big water slide.
Yeah.
My brother told me that they told you to cross your arms because so many people died on it. Yeah. They could put you straight in a coffin.
A lovely sibling thing to say.
A lovely sibling thing, yeah. And he told me that just before I went down.
But you still went down.
I live to tell the tale.
Yeah, there you go. There's the lesson. And there's the lesson. You fought through, and you came through the other side. So there we go.
Haven't we all learned something?
We've all learned something today, everybody. What a lovely thing.
What a lovely thing. Right, Tom, shall we?
Well, Suze.
You've got to get somewhere.
I've got to be in blazes. You've got to be in blazes. So you just go on your way, and I will. If I don't see you through the week, I'll see you through the window.
Okay, great. Okay. All right.
All right. Okay. Bye.
You take care now. Love you.
All right. Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
How do you know if you're worrying too much? How can you mend a broken heart? Does peaking at school ruin you for life? I'm Susie Ruffle, a stand-up comedian and someone who has always experienced anxiety. And I've written a book, Am I Having Fun Now? Considering some of life's big questions. Featuring bonus insights from the likes of Charlene Douglas, Sarah Pascoe, Elizabeth Day and Dolly Alderton. Am I Having Fun Now? Is out now in hardback, ebook and audio.